Amen. Amen. So I want to talk about freedom fighters. Amen. Freedom fighters. Can everybody say freedom fighters? Amen. Amen. You may be seated as we look at this issue of freedom fighting. Amen. Freedom fighters, because some things are just worth fighting for. Amen. We know that there are different types of fighters. Amen. But we know that the fight for your freedom is something that engages the 4th of July, that period when these colonies decided to break off from Great Britain because they was tired of paying the war debt for New England. And so they decided that these colonies, these United States, would be separated from that country, and they formed the United States. They also were against absolute authority, which is why we have three branches of government. Amen. The legislative branch consisting of the Congress, which is the Congress, the House, and the Senate, and the judicial branch, the Supreme Court judges, as well as the executive branch, which is the president and his cabinet. Three branches of government to combat monarchy as it relates to centralized power. So we became free from them. But this morning we look, as we consider freedom on another area, we fought for that freedom. And we need to understand that when we talk about freedom fighters, what we're talking about is a person who takes part in a resistance movement, amen, against an oppressive political or social establishment. Amen. Amen. There are those who take part in a resistance movement. Amen. We know that that is important. But the aim of our sermon is for us to see that Jesus is the greatest freedom fighter that ever lived. Amen. Jesus is the greatest freedom fighter that ever lived. Jesus is the greatest. And we know that people fight for many different things. Amen. They fight for rights. Amen. We know the civil rights movement. They fight, amen, for relationships. Amen. People will fight for their marriage, for their family. People will fight, amen, for religion, for their religious freedom. And even now, we are concerned that religion stays separated. Now, there's separation of church and state, and that you're allowed to pick and choose your own praying ground. Freedom. Amen. Freedom to worship as you please. Amen. As we think about that, what we want to understand here is that Jesus here wants to let us know that freedom is something that if he does it, he says, amen, you will be free. He talks about the fact that they did not believe in freedom. They thought they were free, but they were in bondage, those religious leaders of his day. Amen. The scribes and the Pharisees. Amen. He dealt with them, and he says these scribes and Pharisees, amen, are dependent on Abraham to get them saved, to get them into heaven. He says, we don't have to really believe in Jesus. We just believe that since we are related to Abraham, Amen. We have Abraham to be our father. And so since Abraham is our father, we're not worried about going to heaven. Amen. A lot of people today think that just because I've related to some folk in church, whether it's my parents or whether it's, you know, other people, that they think that's going to give them a ticket into heaven, but it's not. Amen. You got to have a personal relationship. Amen. This thing become personal. It's an individual thing between you and God. Have you had it? That encounter with God. Because when it's all over, your mother and father can only go so far. Things going to thin out at some point in your life. Things going to thin out. Things are going to thin out. You're going to find that you are by yourself. And you'll be by yourself at your funeral. Amen. They can only go so far. Amen. Amen. You're not going to live forever. You got to leave. It's not that it might happen. If Jesus doesn't come, it will happen. And so we have to evaluate whether or not we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Individually. Amen. Ask your neighbor, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Because that's very important. Because I want to see you in the future. I know I'm going to heaven. Do you know? It is based on he personally came into my life. And so we want to recognize that God is the one who gives us eternal life. And so Jesus told him, he says that, look, if y'all are not careful, you're going to mess around and die in your sin. That's what's going to happen. Amen. Chapter 8, verse 8. I believe it is 7 and 8. He says, if y'all are not careful, in verse 11, 7, he says that if you're not careful, you're going to mess around. If you notice in verse 21 and verse 24, he says, you're going to die in your sins. Amen. Amen. You're going to die in your sins. And so you got to make sure that you don't die in your sins. Amen. God wants us to get saved before we die. And amen. And so you got to be careful or you may die in your sins. And so as we think about this morning, the question becomes, we look at the exposure. We look at the exposure. We look at the emancipation. And we look at the fact that this thing is that which is everlasting. God is an everlasting God. And so, therefore, we know that it is something that, you see, we're going to outlive here. You're moving into eternity. So we want to also address that as well. And so Jesus made it plain. He says that some things are worth fighting for. Amen. And what are you fighting for? If you fight, the fight will include exposure. Amen. Amen. The fight will include exposure. Amen. You see, they thought that they were going to heaven because they was kin to Abraham. But Jesus came to tell them that, no, you got to be kin to me. Amen. Amen. You've got to be kin to me. Amen. Amen. It's not Abraham that you got to be concerned about. Amen. Abraham can't save you. And you've got to be kin to me. He says, if the Son makes you free, ye shall be free indeed. And so these things are critical. You see, the thing is that Jesus had told them that he was, in verse 12 of John chapter 8, the light of the world. Amen. And you know what light does. You see, light exposes darkness. And light, darkness is never exposed until the light's turned on. Amen. Light would not know, darkness would not know. If you're in darkness and there's never any light, you will never know you need to get out unless somebody brings some light. Darkness can't expose darkness. Jesus said, I am the light of the whole world. I am. This statement of deity, these I am statements of Jesus, we didn't get into that. We don't have time. The truth is that he's letting them know that y'all are talking about Abraham. I am the light of the world. What are you talking about? Amen. Amen. And I expose darkness. And if you get free, I've got to expose your sin. I'm going to show you your sin because you can't see it without light. There's something you can't see in the darkness. Amen. You can, but if you get some light, you can see it. And it'll expose exactly how the situation really is. Amen. When you... let's look at what we hear what he said in verse 12. He says, then spake Jesus unto them and said, I am the light of the world. And he says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Amen. But shall have, notice what he says, the light of life. I've never thought of it. Have you ever thought about it? The light of life. Can everybody say light of life? Light of life. Amen. He said, you're walking in darkness, but I'm going, you know, if you follow me, you have the light of life. And that light is what's necessary, and you only get it through the sun. If the sun makes you free, you'll be free indeed. But the sun is the only one can make you free. You got to have the light of the sun. That's why Jesus tells us we're lights. Did you know you were a light, metaphorically speaking? You are light. We are lights. Amen. Because we have the light in us. And everywhere we go, we expose sin. We expose Satan. We expose darkness. And it's when the light shows up that you can see the darkness. You cannot see the darkness in darkness. You got to bring in some light. Somebody got to go get the light, and then they bring in the light because, amen, the light is what helps us. It exposes, amen, darkness. And when the light comes in, the darkness goes. This morning, about 5:30 or so, I don't know what time it was, but it was completely dark. You couldn't see nothing. It was pitch dark. It can be pitch dark without these lights around here, but when the sun started to come up, you begin to see the light in the windows. And all of a sudden, you don't see the darkness no more. Where did the darkness go? Does it go under the bed? When you walk in your room and you turn on the light and the darkness goes somewhere, where does it go? It hides. Because light is dominant. Light is bright. Light is what's necessary. And if you can get the light in your life, it will expose sin and you can get free. But if you can't see, you can't get free. And that's what happened to a lot of us. Jesus came in. Just tell it like it is. Jesus came in to my life. And he turned on the light. And now I can see. I was blind. I once was lost. I was blind, but now I see. I was sitting in darkness. I did not know my condition. I thought I was having fun. Oh, that's the next part. He says that, but how many of y'all know this morning that you're here today because Jesus showed you what real fun was? Because there's really no party like a Holy Ghost party. We don't need the drinking. We don't need the dancing. We don't need nothing. We got our own music. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We got the Holy Ghost. They said on the day of Pentecost, these folk are drunk. He says 9 o'clock. They ain't had time. The store's not even open. They're not drunk. What's the matter with them? Well, they got filled with the Holy Spirit. And he turned on the light. Amen. And now I'm happy all the day. Well, I won't get a chance to finish if I don't hear up. The truth is that Jesus says, now, you fellows are really in darkness. Talking about Abraham. Because Abraham himself needs saving. You trusting in somebody who's not even able to save themselves. How is Abraham going to save you when Abraham needs a savior? Abraham is made out of the same stuff you made out of. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Abraham need a sacrifice too. Well, the fact of the matter is that he says that if the Son makes you free. Now, the truth is that you get free in verse 32 because Jesus is truth. Can everybody shout truth? Amen. Yeah, he tells the truth about stuff. Now, understand that Satan, all through your life, now he's the light of life. Satan gonna lie about everything in your life to keep you in bondage. What is Jesus gonna do in verse 32? He gonna tell you the truth. He said, "You shall know the truth." I wish I had a witness. And what it's gonna do something. It's gonna loose you. You're gonna get emancipated, spiritually speaking. Ye shall know the truth. You see a lot of folks sitting in religious, they sitting in churches that are dead. They sitting in churches that don't have the light. They're sitting in churches that are ritualistic and perfunctory in their operation. And all they do is go through the same routine of rituals and traditions and the same thing. But there's no really no light. There is no light in that switch. Those switches are not lit. I need to go where the switches are lit. Have I got a witness? And he keeps the switches lit. Late in the midnight hour, when people turn their back on me, I've got Jesus in my heart. I've got Jesus in my life. I don't need nothing to drink. I don't need no money. I don't need nothing. Somebody say, I've got Jesus, and that's enough. I wish I had a You light up my life, Jesus. Jesus is enough. He says, if the Son... Now, he says, you need the truth because I am truth. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth. I'm not a truth. That definite article, the, I am the truth. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. I am the light of the world. And if you don't want to walk in darkness, you have to receive me. And I'll emancipate you. Ye shall know if the Son. Now, you think you're free, but if I make you free, you're really free. Amen. That means that that word when he says you're free indeed, that means that you're certainly free. It means that you are really free. It means to be delivered completely. Amen. Amen. You may be free from slavery, and you may be free from bondage, and you may be free from Great Britain, but are you free from sin? I wish I had a witness. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The truth is, church, is that we've got to be, you got to be completely free. Do you want to be part free or all free? Amen. 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 You, I wish I wouldn't. Now, somebody can have their freedom, but they're not at their valley. Amen. But they hooked on crack. Huh? They hooked on liquor. Some hooked on a cancer stick. They hooked. They're controlled. They're not free. amen, they're hooked on certain things. They are, amen, they're addicted. Jesus says, I came to break the addiction. Well, the fact of the matter is that Jesus sets us free, and it means to be certainly free. It means to be delivered. It means to be it means to be free for real. Yeah, amen. You ever heard anybody say, for real? Amen. She tell your neighbor, for real. Amen. For real. That's what the young people say. For real. Yeah. You see, when you tell them for real, they know it's okay. I understand now. It's true. Amen. Amen. Now the fact of the matter is, as we back this thing up, the truth is that God wants us to be free. And he says that I'm going to set you free because I'm a fighter. I fought for your freedom. Amen. It's good to have those who have fought for the civil rights freedom, and there are so many I started to try to name them. I didn't have time to get the sermon. But the fact of the matter is, there are so many who fought. There are a lot of freedom fighters. Have I got a witness? But there is no freedom fighter like Jesus, because he sets you free completely. Not only does he set you free completely, he sets you free always. It's not the quality of your freedom also, but it's the quantity of your freedom. Once he saved you, he saved you forever. You see, he's the one that saved you everlastingly. He gives you eternal life. Now, a lot of folk put on these gloves and box, and they got everlasting on them, but they don't give you nothing everlasting. Matter of fact, a lot of them have gone off the scene. But Jesus puts on the glove, and he says, I'm everlasting. I'm really the only one that can wear the gloves. All the other folk that wore the gloves are in the ground. All those great heroes of history, they had on the glove. They're not around no more. But Jesus says, I'm the only one that can fight for you. He says, I'm the one that you're going to need. And don't worry about those who can destroy the body. Don't even worry about it. Don't even go there. Amen. Matthew 10:28 says, fear not him that can kill the body, but they can't kill the soul. Don't worry about him. But worry about the one that can kill both soul and body in hell. Now Jesus said, I delivered you from hell. Amen. I fought for you. I fought for you. I came to set the captives free. He said in Luke 4:18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me. And anointing is what breaks addictions. Jesus can set you free from the devil. You can be addicted and pray, and God, the anointing, the Holy Spirit, will break every yoke. Nothing is stronger than the Holy Spirit. No power is stronger than the Almighty God, the omnipotent God. Jesus says, I came to break the back of sin. I came to deliver you. He said, I came to preach the gospel. He said, well, see, the gospel is what sets you free. The gospel is what it sets you free. I came to preach the gospel to the poor. I came to heal the brokenhearted. I came to recover the sight of the blind. They couldn't see. They were in darkness. And I came in and turned on the light. He said, I came to recover the sight of the blind. Now, that's not just talking about physical blind. It's talking about spiritual. I came. Why did you come, Jesus? I came to set at liberty those that are bruised and battered by Satan. I came to set them free. I'm letting everybody out of jail. Amen. I wish I had a witness. Everybody's free. I came to set the captives free. I came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And right now, you have that joy. You have it because it's the light on the inside. And this little light of mine, somebody said, I'm going to let it shine. That's what they said. I'm going to let it shine. Jesus said, I fought for you. But now I need to close when I tell you I don't have time. But the truth is, church, is that there's some folk that fight for physical freedom, but they fight against religious freedom. They fight for freedom. They fight for physical freedom, but they fight against spiritual freedom. They fight against some sins they want to hold on to. Are you a freedom fighter? I'm twisting the sermon now. You're fighting against what real freedom is. There's some Christians who think they saved. They got saved, but they still want some of their sins. And they're freedom fighters. They're fighting real freedom. They're fighting what sets them free. You're saved, but you're a freedom fighter. Joseph was a freedom fighter. He says, I'm not going to be in bondage to temptation. He says, I'm going to run. I'm going to fight that temptation. I'm a freedom fighter. I'm a real freedom fighter. I'm going to get out of here. I wish I had a witness. You got to fight those things that try to slip into our life. You got to fight those sins. Jesus says, I came to set you free.